I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, before the episode, just want to let you know that there might be, no, there will be a few cuss words. So be warned, but make sure you listen because it's a truly raw, honest, and great episode.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads, and today's guest is Holly Kaplan. Now, we all know gender inequality in the workplace is not new. With women still earning roughly 80% of what men are paid, corporate discrimination is more pertinent now than ever. The discrepancies that affect women every single day exist not only in the form of pay, but in treatment, recognition, and respect. These issues are constantly talked about, but has anything really been done to change them? Well, that's why we have Holly Kaplan here. She's an award-winning sales leader for over 2 decades, and she's speaking up and fighting for change in her new book, Surviving the Dick Click, A Girl's Guide to Surviving the Male-Dominated Corporate World. Kaplan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
The pleasure is mine. I have so many questions with a title like that. But
yeah.
But before we get into those questions, though, I'm curious about how you eventually fell into this. You said you've been doing sales for over 2 decades. That's quite the experience you have there. What led your career? What jump-started your career?
You know what? That was what I knew I was going to go into was sales, because it's in the book. I joke about not being smart enough to get into med school or law school. So I knew I was going to go into sales, and my parents were in it too. So it was a natural progression. And so I knew I would end up in the corporate world. So it was kind of like laid out there for me up front.
You got it. I mean, I would argue that you are not smart enough, because you're incredibly smart, especially after reading a lot of stuff you put out. But the question that I have now is obviously your title, Surviving the Dick Click. Girl's Guide to Surviving the Male-Dominated Corporate World. What exactly is dick behavior? And how do you identify and shut it down?
I had a feeling you would ask that. Dick behavior really just comes along with being a bully. It's really sad to say it. But dick behavior, Tayo, is someone who wants to hold you back. It is as if an idea is never a good idea. It is as if whatever you try to achieve or do, they will do something to stop you. It can come in the form of shaming. It can come in the form of bullying. It, like I say in the book, it can be very direct, just as a direct kick in the balls. But whatever it is to do to elevate themselves and make sure that you do not succeed. And it is a tough, tough battle, because you'll look inside yourself and say, you know what? I know I'm doing the right things, and I know I'm fighting for what's right for myself or even this organization, but these people are not letting me advance. That is what the dick click is.
Wow. Wow. And then, so how do you then identify it? You know, how do you address that behavior or shut it down?
Okay, I love that you asked that question, because for years, I didn't know what it was, because I was the only woman in management. So I was like, okay, this must be normal. I'm working with all these men, and this must be normal behavior, you know, to feel like you're disrespected and watch them disrespect each other. So I just kind of accepted it. And then I kind of realized I felt like shit. I'm like, this isn't right. This isn't right. And then I realized that, you know what, I've got to do something about this. And for years, I didn't know what to do. I internalized it because I didn't have any women to talk to. You know, I didn't know how to bring up this behavior to HR. I'm like, how do you call HR and go, yeah, the dick clicks on my nerves today. You know, they don't have a structure for that. They don't, you know, it's not their fault, but they don't know how to handle that. So I slowly figured out how to handle it by developing a support system within my group of peers. Some were men, yes, because I would lean on them for what the hell do I do with this? And then I ultimately did start to facilitate a relationship with HR. And I think together we kind of figured out, you know, what this was, really. But Tayo, I still don't think we have a good way to handle it. Not in my experience, at least.
Wow. No, and you know, what is interesting, and I find that I read, is that you said what you learned rather quickly in the corporate world is that men have to prove that they're the best and the smartest in the room. Most men save, you know, there's a constant need for them to outdo each other. And most men save a few in the corporate world that function under this premise. Now, this behavior you said baffled you because this isn't how you operate.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Right. Exactly. That really did shock me because we would start meetings with, all right, guys, like, let's just say management meetings, me, 10 men. Who are we going to fire this week? Who are we going to fire? And I'm like, that's really how you kick off a meeting? Boy, I'm so motivated. I can't wait to be a part of this. You know, it's like that. It's who you're going to diminish or shame or make fun of. Really just to elevate yourself, not yourself, themselves. And, it just wasn't how I was used to handling or dealing with people. You know, I didn't have that approach. I'm going to open a meeting, not in that manner. I'm going to open it with welcoming people and what can we do as a group? And that was not expressed in my circumstances. And that was really hard to accept and function in.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And the immediate question then, the follow-up is to me, how do women effectively function in this environment then? And what's the best way? I'm trying to figure out that out.
I still am too. And you know what? I ask myself that question all the time. And I think that's a couple of things. I think just talking about it right now is going to help us learn how to handle it. I also think that women have to be tough. We have to be twice as prepared, twice as smart, and twice as ready for everything else when you are in the throes of the dick click. You really do. To get change, again, like I mentioned before, I think that we have to have corporate support from the HR department to recognize these behaviors. So there are a couple of different things that we're going to have to do. Okay. And what I want to add to that is, you know, these millennials, which I love, are so outspoken. You know, I'm in my late 40s. I just said that right. I'm in my late 40s, and I was not raised to be outspoken and to talk about things. And I was, you know, was taught to be compliant or polite and respect my elders or whoever my upper level management was. But the millennials, I think, can really help us make a difference and be vocal and bring the stuff up to get change.
Okay. No. Okay. So we definitely know that this dick behavior exists. And we obviously, when I started the interview, I talked about the fact that the facts are known. 80% of the, you know, what men make, women make. And even if you go deeper with a different, you know, minorities, it's lower. And you said HR support is needed. But what about leadership though?
Oh, totally. Totally needed. Leadership to lead by example. That's what I strive to do. That's what I learned. Lead by example. And then Tayo, even above that, I mean, CEO level. I think there's a big disconnect between the CEO and the feet on the street. And I think that that person could lead by example too. And I don't really see a lot of that either. And I would like to. I would.
Yeah. I'm curious about your thoughts about the recent Google memo. I don't know if you read that at all, but
I did.
You did? Now, that's a behavior that is unfortunately thought of by a lot of people. And for those listening, there was an individual who used to work at Google who put out a memo basically saying that science dictates that women shouldn't be treated as fairly as men. Now, that scenario, he wasn't really high up there, but he's an individual that could grow up to be in the high up leader and higher based on those opinions.
Mm-hmm.
You as someone who's well versed in this world and understands that those type of individuals and dickish behaviors do exist. Are there ways we can mitigate that from early on? Are there things that leadership can start to implement now from the CEO level to help filter, you know, those type of behaviors out of the ecosystem?
I would love for that to happen. And I think you're right. I think you're right in saying it has to happen early on. And like you said, the gentleman from Google, he was younger, you know, not younger, lower, you know, in the scheme of things. So apparently he's learning these behaviors at a young age, right? So if we start to correct them now, then maybe we can get them to not occur as they age in their careers. But again, I think that goes back to us leading by example. And you know how when you start a new organization, here's an idea. And you have I've had, you know, sexual harassment training with pretty much every company I've been with. Maybe we include this. Maybe we fold in something like this early on, you know, in your 20s, when you start a new company or whatever company you're going to, that learns to practice respect, that learns to practice how they should treat each other. It sounds so basic, doesn't it? It sounds so basic.
I mean, a lot of these things are easy, just hard. They're just, how do I say, they're not, I guess, they're simple, but they're not easy to implement. Let me put it that way.
And, right.
And it's, I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's, I mean, on everybody's basic level, we all like to think that we treat each other equally and all that, but then we operate on several unconscious biases, on written rules, and then we get so comfortable with what we know, and we don't try to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations, even though we know that that would probably make us a better person, better leader, better coworker. And
you said it so well, so well.
Well, so let's talk about your experiences. You've had several experiences, obviously, in your world. I mean. Things to do with bars, boobs, and strip clubs. But what are some of those weird situations where you found yourself in and the lessons you learned?
Specifically to boobs and bars or
in general? You know? I mean, it's all over because you share some of those stories with strip clubs with, and I think you described it as bars, boobs, and strip clubs.
There's a lot. Yeah, that one kind of stood out. That was kind of the first shocker of the whole, you know, beginning of the 20 years. You know, it's hard to say. I think what shocks me the most, and this is probably more general than you want, is how often I'm told to, when I try to stand up, to stand down. Does that make sense? Like, if I want to take the lead on something and I'm working with a group of men, you know, let's say there's a project comes up and I email my manager and say, you know what? I really want to take the lead on this. I may not get a response, or if I do, I will be told, copied with everybody else on the team, that it's been given to Bob. That is really what occurred the most. And it stung every single time.
Yeah,
it did. And that's kind of a theme throughout the book. You'll see, like, when I talk about interviewing with my manager, when you see how I became a dick too. So it's all kind of in that theme.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. So I want to talk about that. You said you became a dick. Why do you feel like a lot of men call women bossy when they're exhibiting similar behaviors that they do?
I hate that.
Yeah. And I hate it too, but I'm just always curious. It seems like
I do. I know. Thing. It's true. We're bossy or we're bitches. We are.
Exactly.
I don't know. I guess because we're exhibiting the same behaviors, and that's the only label they can think of. Mm. What else are they going to do? Say you're strong? You know? Are they going to say you're smart?
It'd be nice.
Nice is good. Yeah, nice
no,
is good.
No, I'm saying it would be nice to say that you're strong. And
oh,
you're...
sorry.
No, because it's... Okay, so I'm asking this question because whenever I do this, I just came from a client meeting. And we were talking... Okay. And one of the problems we were addressing is the fact that there is no gender representation in the executive level. That's, you know, it's lower than they expect. Mm-hmm. And some of the reasons that the ladies brought up was that they felt like their voices weren't heard. And some of the men didn't realize that they would talk down on the women, or they would interrupt, or a man would say a similar opinion and they would validate the man's opinion instead of that. And the reason why I love doing these type of interviews, especially with people like you who are so well-versed in this world and you've experienced it and you've written a book on it, is I imagine that there are women right now listening who basically feel helpless and hopeless. Mm-hmm. And you've come out of those situations, you know, and you look at you have this amazing book. I guess, thank you. I don't know, you're welcome. I guess my question is, what can you tell them to do to help them empower themselves or really create a situation where their voice is heard?
Call them out. You got to call it out. Because, like you said, when you're mansplained to, which I just learned that term, which I think is hysterical, which is when you are talked down to.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Typically, we just kind of absorb it and validate whatever they say. I think we have to change our behavior as women and stand up and speak out and say, hey, man, that's not cool. I need the floor. I'm talking. I need the floor. I need this moment to tell you what I'm trying to say. And too many times, I just took it. And I'm still learning to speak up. And I think that's the number one thing women can do. And I'll give you an example. A good friend of mine yesterday said she had a situation on a conference call and she was being mansplained to. And this gentleman kind of took over the conference call and she texted me. She's like, what do I do about this? And she decided to call him back. She called him back and called him out. And I think that's the best thing she could have done, because I think what that will do, hopefully, is change his behavior.
Okay. And
you know.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. I didn't even interrupt.
No, that's okay. And I just think that's a step. You know, I just think that's a step in saying, gosh, that kind of made me feel like crap, and hang up the phone. She was like, oh, no, you didn't. I'm going to call you up and I'm going to tell you that was bullshit. And that's what she did.
and you know, that's such a, I love that advice. But then, you know, people feel afraid that they would get fired, the consequences. And in your opinion, what do you tell them? I mean, because this is their livelihood. They're like, no, I would take it. And then if you take it, then you don't feel good in your place of work. And it's this whole cycle and you're not speaking out. No one knows anything. But, you know, you also don't want to get fired. It's like this double-edged sword.
You're so right. And that was so well said, because I did that. I didn't say anything because I was like, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to get fired if I say anything, because, gosh, this is uncomfortable. And everybody else doing this or being in Dick Click is so comfortable. And how am I going to break the norm? You know? So I was afraid to go to HR or say something, but I think that we have to. And as a woman, it's hard because you feel like you only have so many cards to play with HR before you're labeled.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you really have to be careful how you play your cards. And it's so sad to say that.
Yeah.
Because when you feel like crap at your job because you're dealing with a Dick Click or being bullied or whatever you want to call it, you want to have a safe space to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, so leaders listening, entrepreneurs listening, as you're starting a business, it's important that you create this culture that it's understood that there's a safe space, it's an open environment for people to express themselves. So even in your manifesto and your mission statements, you can talk about how you strive for an inclusive environment, but you can also create scenarios where you actually explicitly say, if you do feel like you're not being heard, these are the steps and these are the people you can talk to, and it's not going to be a consequence. I encourage you to let me know if I say something that you feel attacks your personhood. And I think leaders that are invite that sometimes, you know, they definitely lower the barrier a little bit and break down those walls that might exist if someone feels like, oh, if I call them out, would I be fired? Would you not give me an opportunity? But maybe addressing that head on and creating those scenarios would be a great way to sort of invite confidence from people to call the people out when they do that.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
That's what I tell my clients, and we work on that. And it's obviously, it takes one person to sort of do it first, and then the confidence starts to build. Because it's hard for people to believe that they won't get fired if you say that. But then there's also an approach that you can have it where you're not as accusatory, but you're still clear. And that's one of those. Those are fine. Those are honed. You have to hone that communication skill.
They are.
What do you think of Sheryl Sandberg?
I think she seems like a very sharp lady. I can tell you, I have not read her book. I haven't.
Okay.
I didn't read it, but I think it's because I was doing it, and I think it would have felt like double duty.
Yeah. No. Well, the reason why I brought it up, obviously, she's got, for those listening, she's got Lean In, which is a book, mm-hmm. and that's what Holly was addressing here, and you know, was going through yours. There were some themes that I got reminded of. Something that she brings up in her book is the fact that obviously we live in this male dominant world, and some policies are inherently male dominated. For example, whether it's maternity leave, you know, things like that, or you know, things, rules like early morning meetings, for example, you think that's being mm-hmm. productive sometimes for mothers that they can't attend that meeting, and it's not because they don't want to attend, it's because they've got a drop off kids or parking space or taking time off work and having to deal with people rolling their eyes and saying, oh, now I got to get a temp, and those type of behaviors where it's like you're almost made to feel bad because of a biological fact, right? Or, you know, right. Nature. And they forget the fact that they were here because of women, but that's not a discussion. Those type of things do play into this dick culture where it's often confused and misplaced where, oh, because you're pregnant, that means you're less productive. Because we know that you're going to lose a few months because of you're taking care of a woman, which is, or a kid, which is the original CEO position, you're going to be unproductive for us and we're not going to pay you. Mm-hmm. Do you think those are things that can help with the gender equality? Because those are arguments that people normally make, like, oh, well, we can't pay you equally because you're not going to be here for most of the year anyway.
Right, right. They do that. They do that. Not that old, tired way of handling things is still the way it is. And you are kind of put in a corner, even though you're a female, you know, and you do the motherly things, but, and they automatically think you're going to do less. And that's so not the case. It's not the case. I think we fight harder because we know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we fight harder.
Yeah. No. And that's what I kind of wanted you to talk about, because it's definitely not the case. I mean, it's a very archaic mindset. And mm-hmm. I wonder though, what type of policies can CEOs put? Is it save more money, like have an emergency fund for maternity leave so that, you know, they factor in pain, women that, you know, do get pregnant so they feel valued? Or is it extending? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the best way.
I think these are great questions, because I was pregnant when I was working, you know, and, my pay for when I was at home got cut in half because it was considered disability. I'm like, okay, wait a second.
Disability.
So did you know that? Yeah. If you're pregnant, you're on maternity leave, it is considered disability.
Wow.
So you bring a new baby into the world and then you're making less money for whatever your maternity leave period is. Isn't that genius? Makes no sense. I'm like, dude, where's my disability? I'm having a baby. This is normal. You know, this is what women do, but yet they cut your payback for that time frame. So I think companies need to look at that kind of stuff and go, does this make sense? Doesn't that seem counterintuitive?
It does.
It just seems counterintuitive, but yet same old thing, same old thing. So, I mean, I think we can start with that. Look at how we're doing things right now. How do we fix it?
Yes, yes, yes. And you know, the funny thing is, obviously these decisions are often made by a lot of men and not a lot of women. I feel like if more women were on those tables or in those tables having those discussions, these things we brought up, because obviously I didn't even know that they have a disability thing.
Yeah.
And it seems we just do it naturally. Mm-hmm. This is how we've done it. But if more women were on the leadership table, we'll say, well, you know that if you do that, these are the costs, blah, blah, blah. And that's, you want your female employees to be more productive and you're basically doing the opposite, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Instead of feeling like it's a punishment.
Yeah. That's insane. Well,
don't make me feel like it's a punishment because I'm going on maternity leave and you're cutting my pay off. Because you know what? I have to buy diapers and I have to buy a pack and play and I have to do all this stuff now.
Yeah.
You know, to be a good mom. Help a sister out here. You know, I mean, just don't punish me for doing this.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for really educating us on that. I really appreciate that. As as we wrap up here, I want you to just, I want to give you the floor to talk about my generation, millennials. You talked about the fact that we are more spoken. We are, we have a lot of causes. And I'm, you know, this is good. Normally I hear entitled, lazy, all that stuff. But, how do you feel like we can channel the tools that we have in the 21st century for effective gender equality?
Well, I think what's great about the millennials is that they have the chance to change it. You guys are right there on the cusp to change the way companies are run right now. And I think because you are outspoken and you're unafraid, that it will enable you guys to do that. You'll be able to call off all the old, tired way of doing things because of your voice.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to make the difference. And I've hired millennials. I work with millennials on your team, and they are unafraid. And I think that's what we need to do. Like we were saying earlier, people have been doing things the same way for years and years because it was comfortable. I think you guys are ready to make it uncomfortable and be disruptive, and we have to have that.
All right. I love it. Be comfortable being uncomfortable. Don't be afraid to use the platforms you have to voice out opinions and things that aren't, you know, called, they haven't been called out in the past. And also with the knowledge of, you know, like what Holly's saying, she just let us know that with maternity leave, that's a big problem. Your pay can get cut in half. Some people don't even get paid after like 2-3 weeks or maybe a couple months. And as a leader, if you're, especially if you're a millennial and younger, Gen Zer, you're running a company, you've got to think about it from the point of view where you're hiring the best possible people for your company. But what happens when they have to do something completely natural as raising a kid, which is what everybody, most of the families do. So how do you get them to stay engaged and stay productive and not look for other options to pay? So, really do thank you for enlightening us on that.
Oh, sure. Sure. I've been thinking about it a long time, so I'm actually glad you brought it up today. That was a good one. Yeah.
Thank you. So what's next? I mean, you got the book out. Where can people find it? And what are you hoping to do with this book? Are there more?
There will be more. I'm glad you asked. Right now, the book is on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. And my website should be going up within about a week at hollykaplan.com. So I will have blogs. I will have a space for women and men to write because I want this to be a group effort. Like I really want us to be able to talk about this. And that's the purpose of the website, is to get everyone's voices out there. And it's amazing how many people I talk to who share the same stories.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I have some speaking events coming up locally here in Texas and some in Louisiana where I was raised. Yeah. And then I'm working on the next book, which is called, you might like this, When the Dick is a Chick, because we all know that happens too, right? That happens too. So I can't wait to explore that dynamic. And that's going to be a lot of fun because I've been with men for so many years. So I'm looking for contributing writers to help me with this one. So I think this one will be a lot of fun.
Oh, no, I can't wait. I just love how unashamed you are with your titles. It's you just call it out for what it is.
Yeah.
I'll definitely put this out in the show notes and your website will be up by the time the episode comes out. So, that's great. I do appreciate it. And we'll make sure that's in the show notes. I usually wrap up my interviews with this. So my mission statement is use your difference to make a difference. It's the foundation of everything I do. My mission is to help develop the next set of global leaders by helping them connect across cultures. I'm curious about you. How do you use your difference to make a difference?
Talking about it and being disruptive. I feel like I've lived this for 20 years. And what's the point of living it if you can't talk about it and bring it up and make it uncomfortable, which parlays perfectly into what you said. It's perfect. Because my parents, when I first told them I was doing this, and they're so sweet, they're in their 70s and 80s, and you know, I'm like, hey, mom, dad, I write a book about dicks. They're like, okay, you're freaking us out. You know, can't you just write a book about women in business or how to handle something? I'm like, no, it's not going to get attention. No one's going to buy a book that says women in business. Someone is going to buy Surviving a Dick Click. So to your point, we have to get uncomfortable. We have to get uncomfortable to get to the right spot. And I'm okay with that. It's got to be disruptive.
Wow.
So I'm doing the same thing you are. Wow. Same thing.
Yeah, you're doing it well. I appreciate you coming on. And please do let me know when all these other websites are out there, because I have a funny feeling that I might know some people that will be willing to write.
I would love that. That would be super. I would love that.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the time. I appreciate you coming on. And please continue to help rid us of this dick culture.
I will do my best. I give you that.
Thank you for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.